You got your Bibles, you can open with me to Luke chapter 17. And if you don't have a Bible, there's one on the chair in front of you, or on the table, or you probably got a portable device that you can use as well. There we go. All right, and last week we talked about prayers birthed in persecution. We talked about from a few of the Gospels that we are to pray for those who persecute us and mistreat us. And I know that's not an easy message for a lot of us, including myself. I was reminded of those in my past who have hurt and who, through whose hand I have experienced abuse. And I felt justified. I do still want to feel justified in harboring a grudge toward them, pointing fingers at them and blaming them, and I did that. For years. But something happens to me when I do that. It changes me. When I hold on to grudges, I find myself strapping on a burden that weighs me down, and then I watch how it comes out in my life into other people's lives as I respond, not so graciously. And so today we are going to talk about or look at something in our series. We're going to look at something that will help us change our perspective as we consider an important element of prayer that we may be overlooked, or may be overlooked. So if you got your Bibles, Luke 17, we're starting in verse 11. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're ready, say, let's go. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going to a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, Go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Father, we thank you for your word today that we get to read. Lord, thank you for giving us ears that can hear, mouths that can speak your praise. Hearts that are open, I pray, to receiving that which you want to have us hear today and receive. And so, God, prepare us. Speak through me in these next few moments, Lord. And help us, God, to grow closer to you as we grow closer to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Title of the message today is Thankful Prayers. Thankful Prayers. So we look at the text today. Jesus has positioned himself. He's traveling. He's between Galilee, where Jewish people lived, and Samaria, where Samaritans lived. Okay, and we understand that Jewish people didn't really have a high opinion of Samaritans because Samaritans were half-breed Jews. They were those who intermingled with other nations, and so they didn't preserve the Jewish line. And so that gave them something to hold a grudge against, the Jewish people. And so the Samaritans returned the favor. And I think it's interesting that Jesus here, it talks about, like, you see that he's traveling between Galilee and Samaria. But isn't that a cool picture of who Jesus came for? Jesus came for the Jewish people and the non-Jewish people. The Jewish people and the Gentiles, which is most of us in this room, right? He came for all of us. He came to bridge the gap, so that we could receive the same things that the Jewish people were told about in the scriptures, that we get to receive that word. And remember, Luke was writing to a Gentile audience. And so he's showing us here that he's standing between Galilee and Samaria because he is the Savior for both the Jewish people and the Gentiles. Praise God for that. That was free today. That's not in my script. But all right. But we see here there were 10 men that approached Jesus. And we learn that these 10 men had a skin disease that we know historically would have caused them to have to leave the communities that they were born into, to live lives that were separate from everybody else. And can you imagine getting a disease that would mean that you could no longer be around your family or any of those people that you grew up around? Can you imagine that forever? Unless you were to be healed, forever it would have to be that way. Never to be with your family again, to be shunned from your community, to be shunned from your family. In some sense, we can get a picture of this from what we experienced a few years ago with COVID. COVID, being in quarantine. But fortunately, the contagiousness of COVID, unlike leprosy, didn't last. And we could eventually return to being around our people again, our family. But for these men, there was no cure. No for sure way to get healed. No foreseeable end to the disease. Really no hope. Can you imagine? And yet these men, obviously they had heard about Jesus as they called out to him in verse 13. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when they did so, Jesus took notice. That word for pity in the Greek means mercy and compassion. Jesus, have mercy, have compassion on us. Guess who our God is? He's merciful. He's compassionate. Yes, they were calling his name. They were calling his name. They recognized who he is. Do we recognize who he is today? Do we recognize who he is in each moment of our lives? And so what does Jesus do? He doesn't touch them and heal them. He doesn't spit on the ground and make mud and put it on their eyes and tell them to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. He doesn't tell them to go and dip themselves seven times in the dirty Jordan River like Naaman in the Old Testament. No, he just simply says, go, show yourselves to the priests. Why did he say that? Well, the Levitical code back in that lovely book of Leviticus in the Old Testament, chapter 14, if someone were to be healed of the skin disease, they were first to go and show themselves to the priest, and the priest were to basically to confirm that they are healed of that skin disease. And then they do this weird ceremonial ritual that would be weird to us today, where they'd take like these two birds and they'd kill the one and they'd dress it with a bunch of different things, hyssop and whatever, and then they would sprinkle the blood and the hyssop and everything else on the other bird and they would let it go free. Kind of weird, right? And then the person could wash and then they would be considered clean and they could come back and be a part of the community. But he says here, go, and it says in verse 14, as they went, they were cleansed. Now, it's likely that all 10 of these men were thankful that that happened to them, right? But the reason that this particular story of healing in the Bible is not so much the healing, but rather what comes next. Verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. One of these lepers, when he saw that he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. He was given testimony, Jacob. He was given testimony. This is what the Lord has done. And he thanked him. He thanked him. There's something that happens when we receive something rather than acquiring that which we seek after. There's something different that happens. To acquire something means that we've done something to obtain it. We've done something to get it. But to receive something means that it was given to us. It was given to us. I need a volunteer. Tasha, can you come up here? I have $5. Could you use $5 today, Tasha? It's not a trick question. Anybody else use $5 today? Okay, somebody wants to use $5. Do you want $5? If you don't want it, okay. Okay, who wants $5? Anybody? Violet, come on up. If I give this to you today, Violet, what would you say? Oh, thank you for putting the words in her mouth. Yes, well, here you go. You're welcome. Thank you. Yes, you go and have a seat. Thank you. Now, did she do anything to earn that? Did she do anything to deserve that? Was she thankful for it? Since someone else put words in her mouth, she's thankful for it. Yeah. So giving $5 causes thankfulness to come up in our hearts. It causes it. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. But just that in that one situation right there, that caused thankfulness in our heart. And these 10 that received a cleansing, a healing in their bodies, it was something that they all sought after. But again, this particular story in the scriptures is here because it's showing us how important it is to give thanks. One leper, a Samaritan, not even a Jew, is likely at least some, if not all of the other 9 were Jewish. Okay? Because Jesus said in verse 18, has no one returned to give praise or thanks to God except this foreigner? It's possible all other 9 were Jewish. We don't know. But at least some of them were Jewish because he said, the Jewish people didn't even come back. And here's this foreigner that's coming back to give thanks. This leper stopped when he was healed and out of thankfulness of his heart returned to give God thanks and praise. I believe it was before he continued to even go to the priest. I think that they're on their way and they're like, hey, we're healed. Okay, you guys go ahead. I'm going to go back and I'm going to go praise God. I'm going to go tell him thank you, right? He went back. He's like, I'll get to the priest, but I got to go and give glory to God. I got to go thank him. I got to go do that first. Here's the point. Thankfulness changes us. It changes us. It changes what we do. It changes how we come to the Lord. It's an important aspect of how we approach the Lord. Psalm 100 in verse 4 says this, enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Now, Lord willing, we're not going to heaven today. Could happen. Could happen any day. We don't know. He could come back today. We don't know. But every day we walk this earth, we are to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And we do that each time we come into his presence. Like the time we spend in worship a little bit ago. That's an opportunity for us to come and give thanks to the Lord. Because giving thanks or thankfulness changes us. It changes our hearts and it puts us in a place where we can approach our Heavenly Father. And today we give thanks through prayer, unlike the lepers who got to see Jesus face to face. We give thanks through prayer as Jesus is not walking with us on this earth today, but he is through his Holy Spirit. He's not walking in our flesh today, but he is through his Holy Spirit. And I think of that picture too. If you read what we read today, talked about the lepers, they were stood at a distance and they cried out to the Lord. But when they were healed, they were able to approach the Lord. And he approached with thankfulness. That's not what it's exactly saying, but think about that. We can approach the Lord as we approach him with thankfulness because it changes our hearts. He doesn't need it. We need it. We need to be thankful as we approach the Lord. And as we are to come into his presence with thanksgiving and praise, we are also to bring our requests to him in prayer with thanksgiving. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, someone say every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, there it is again, present your requests to God. There's a reason why Paul states that we need to pray asking with thanksgiving as we present a request to God. Why? What does praying with thanksgiving do? It opens the door to the peace of God coming and filling our lives as we come to him in those prayer requests, in those petitions. Thankfulness is an important part of how we come to the Lord. See, there's a difference between asking God for something, seeing him like a genie in a bottle. God, I need a four-wheeler. God, I need a jet. God, I need this. I need that. Okay, there's a difference between that and asking him with a heart of thanksgiving for what he has done, what he has done for us. God, I thank you that you have supplied that which I need. I thank you, God, that we have good health, that we have the opportunity to get around in a vehicle that you have provided for us. God, I thank you. I thank you for providing food for my family and I to eat. What does that do? It helps us to remember that he is God and we are not. It helps us to put him first when we give thanks. When we ask out of worry and anxiety, we discount who he is. and what he has done for us. But when we ask with thanksgiving in our hearts, we receive his peace to acknowledge that he is fully able to handle anything we ask, and even more, like we sang about this morning. And we can leave it in his hands rather than keeping it in our own, causing worry and anxiety. Here's a point. Giving thanks in prayer causes us to acknowledge that he is God and we are not. Our God gives us life and breath and everything else for each day that we walk this earth. Do we discount that? Last night I had a lot of drainage. I woke up early in the morning and I was like, just noticing that I was breathing a little bit more laboriously. Is that how you say it? Laborious? My breathing was more laborious? Laboriously? However you say it. Anyway, and I just acknowledged that. I was like, I'm breathing. I'm breathing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I'm breathing. Thank you, God, that I have breath in my lungs. Praise the Lord. Do we acknowledge God? Do we give him thanks for that? Or do we live with an attitude of entitlement? It's a personal story, so it's okay. All right? So you guys know that my water heater was replaced about a month ago or so. I didn't want to have to replace a water heater, but it caught on fire, so what could I do? But praise the Lord, he kept the fire, like you guys know this, gave testimony of this. He kept the fire from spreading, and he helped me to see it before we left the house for the weekend. And the water continued to be heated, even though it had caught on fire. Maybe it was the fire that was heating it, I don't know. But anyway, pastor confession, I had some issues with the plumbing company that I had come out. This company, all the technicians were great. They were very personable. They were very friendly. They did an amazing job. I feel like I have a brand new car in my basement because that water heater looks so nice. I'm like, wow, look at this. Some people have, you know, Vipers and Lamborghinis and things like that. I have a water heater that looks really cool. Okay? But the guy that came out initially, he's like, well, you know, you're going to need to add an electrical box because for code, you need to have one, like a circuit breaker panel that's right there next to your water heater. And it's going to run you X amount of money. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess I have to do that. He's like, do you want to pay for it now or later? I said, well, I guess now, since I'm paying for everything else with a water heater right now. So anyway, I get the invoice from him, and the things that he added in, all that was on there was the total. It was not an itemized receipt. Okay, my auto mechanic gives me an itemized receipt. I mean, okay, so anyway. So I got a little perturbed about that. I called the plumbing company and I asked for an itemized receipt. You know what they told me? We don't do that. We don't do that. Okay. Well, can I speak to your manager, please? Won't try to go that angle. Well, I'll go talk to him and then either he or I will call you back. Week and a half passes. Now they're calling to set up the electrical guy to come out to do the electrical box. He said, we have a cancellation today. Can you come out? Can we come out today? Sure, he'd come out today. He comes out. He says, guess what? You don't need the electrical box that I've already paid for, as far as I know, because I don't have an itemized receipt. And so I said, okay, well, do I get a refund for that? Well, let me check. The technician calls his manager, comes back and says, you didn't actually pay for that. Well, how do I know that I didn't pay for that? I have no itemized receipt. I don't know. So I call him up again, and I say, look, I know that the technician that came out said that he quoted me this much, and I said, yeah, go ahead and add it in the bill, but I have this invoice that only has the total because I don't have an itemized receipt. Oh, we don't do that. Yes, I know. But can you figure it out? She said, well, I'll send you something, some kind of invoice type thing. And then I'll talk to the technician and I'll get back to you. A week passes. Nothing. Well, let me tell you, in that week that passed was the week before last, where we were talking about praying for those who persecute and mistreat us. And one of the scriptures that I read for that message was Luke 6, verse 30, which says, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, Do not demand it back. God, I thank you. I thank you that this is your word. It's truth. Okay. So I called the lady back, and I said, this is who I am. And she's looking at my account, which I'm sure she knows who I am by this point. And I say, look, I just want to say, I know you guys are a reputable company. I trust that you're not going to do me wrong. I said, I felt uncomfortable because I felt like I had been slighted or taken advantage of. Kelly's brother-in-law is a plumber. He said we paid too much for the water heater, which that didn't make anything any better. You know, I said, but I didn't say that on the call. I said, I trust you guys are a reputable company. I've told you what I know, and I trust that you're going to do what's right. And I'm not going to expect anything back. That may have seemed foolish to you that I would do something like that. But hear this. What I shared with that lady and the attitude that I came in with changed her attitude. And she was like, thank you for calling. Thank you for letting me know that. You know what? I'm going to get into this and I'm going to find out if we owe you anything, I will 100% refund it to you. Just that difference. Just that little bit of difference. God sees all things. And if they do what's wrong, they, not me, will have to face the consequences. Right? I choose to forgive. I choose to live with an attitude of thankfulness because Jesus Christ is my provider. It's not about me going after trying to make sure that I demand back what is owed to me. But I'm going to trust him. This is just one experience in my life. I can't say that I've done this in every single other time. Okay? I'm trying something new. But why should I carry what belongs in God's hands? Why should I not let all those things go and trust him? Trust him, the one who says, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. Why do I need to hold on to it? Why do I need to linger in that? All it does is just pushes me down. Thankful prayers help us to acknowledge God is God and we are not. Thankful prayers also acknowledge that God is our provider. Let's talk about praying over meals. Anybody ever prayed over their meal? A few of you, yeah. Why do you do that? Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One because he's given Jesus Christ. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we do that not out of tradition, not out of duty, but to give thanks. But some say we pray to bless the food, making it good or clean to eat. And one of my favorite scriptures concerning this is Mark 7, verse 19. When Jesus tells his disciples, talking about what defiles a person, Jesus says in Mark 7 and verse 19, he says, don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them, for it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of their body, which we're not going to talk about. But the very next sentence is this. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. I like that scripture because I can point to it as I tell my wife, who likes to eat more healthy than I do, that Jesus declared all the sugary dessert kind of foods that I want to eat clean. Right? Yes. Yes. But then I'm reminded, Tom, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 23. I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. Yes. I can do anything I want to do, but not everything is a good thing to do. Right? We can do whatever we want, but not everything is a good thing to do. Not everything honors the Lord, including some of the fatty, dessert, sugary kinds of foods that we like to eat. But we pray over the food before we eat it, not out of tradition, not out of reciting a prayer. This is what we're supposed to do. Because of this, Paul, talking of a time when people will abandon their faith and follow false teachings, not unlike the time that we live in today, says this in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 3. He says, they, meaning the false teachers, forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with Thanksgiving. You guys are getting it today. With thanksgiving. There's actually several scriptures in the New Testament that talk about food and with thanksgiving, receiving it with thanksgiving. It was interesting. But with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. Who are they? Us, followers of Christ. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. So we pray over the food, as Brother Tom said, giving thanks for it, rather than asking him to bless it, because he's already called it good. It's already good. But that we may receive it with thanksgiving. Again, not acquiring, but acknowledging that what we have received is from him. Giving thanks helps us to acknowledge God as a provider. That's the point. As we get ready to close today, this is not my first close. This is my first close. I have two closes today. As we get ready to close today, this past week I've been dealing with some different things in my life. You know what we talked about before, with any one of these hard things that come into our life by itself, it wouldn't be a big deal. But when all of them come in at once, it gives you the sense of feeling overwhelmed, right? I talked about that before. That was my week last week. And trying to fit in everything that needed to get fit in and trying to trust that God knew my timetable, and yet this happened and that happened and this person and that person and whatever the case may be, and then Noel leaving. And I was having trouble discerning God's will for the day. What is it I'm supposed to do today, God? And it was causing those feelings of anxiety and worry to rise up in me. As we were having breakfast a few mornings ago, a little yellow goldfinch must have swooped and dove the wrong direction and bang, into our dining room window while we're eating breakfast. Bam! Falls to the ground. We look down there on the deck, and this bird, it's kind of felt like what I wanted to do. Its legs were tucked up, and it was just laying there every once in a while, opening its eyes, breathing, just ready to give up on life. And so my family is all standing around it. We're looking at it. We're praying for it. I begin to identify with this bird, right? There's this bird laying down there. His legs are tucked up. It's just ready to give up on life. Does it feel that way sometimes? Sometimes you just feel like you want to give up on life. And yet the scriptures that God gives us, those words that we bury in our hearts, come to life in those moments. And Matthew 10, verse 29 is what came to mind that moment. It says this, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny," Jesus says, "yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care." I read that scripture. I went and got my Bible, and then I came back and I read that scripture. As soon as I did, guess what that little bird did? Popped up. Relieved himself on my deck. Right? And sat there. Sometimes that's what we need to do. Sometimes we just need to get up, use a restroom, and keep going. Okay? I just recorded that. Okay. That was me who said that. Yeah. Matthew 10:30, the next verse. He says, "And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." And this thought, I believe, that came from the Holy Spirit, came to my mind. If God sees every single bird that falls to the ground, and he cares about that bird, how much more does he care about the things that you and I go through? How much more? Does that cause a thankfulness in your heart to rise up? It changes how we approach the Lord. The care that God has for us, the mercy, the compassion, creates a heart of thankfulness in me that draws me to him. Thankfulness softens me. It changes me from the hardening brought on by the life that we live, what's happening in the world around us. It creates in me a tender heart of flesh, like Ezekiel 36:26 talks about. He says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." And he does that as we come to him with a thankful heart. A heart that is compassionate like our Father. One that can forgive. one that can pray honestly for those who persecute and mistreat us, and one who can humbly let things go. Our main point today, very simple. As you pray, give thanks. As you pray, give thanks. Giving thanks prepares us to receive from the Lord. It gets our hearts in the right place so that we can receive from the Lord. And it humbles us so that, as James chapter 4 says, we can draw near to God, who then draws near to us. As we close, second time, as we close today, Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9, I'm going to close with this today. Jesus, quoting the prophet Isaiah, says this: "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Is your heart toward the Lord today hard? Is it calloused? Are you overwhelmed? Are you carrying burdens that you shouldn't be carrying? Does God feel like he is far from you? Perhaps it's not that he is far, but that our hearts are hardened towards him today. We're carrying those burdens that we're not meant to carry, those things that we shouldn't be carrying, those things that he says to cast our cares on him because he cares for us, to take his burden instead upon us and learn from him because he is also gentle and humble. We are to be gentle and humble because our Heavenly Father is gentle and humble. And in him we find rest for our souls. Will you stand with me today? This is our response time. What's God speaking to you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. What are the burdens that you're carrying that you're not supposed to carry? And you may think of them as your burdens, but what are the things that God says, let me have? What things do you need to take off your back so that you can walk light today? What kind of things are causing that defilement? What comes out of the heart is what defiles a man, is what Jesus says. What kind of things are coming out of your heart that are indicators that you're not living free and in the light today? And close your eyes on me. I'll have the prayer team come up here as well. What do you need to have prayer for today? What is it that God is doing in your heart? What is it that you need to let go of? What is it that you need to stop holding against somebody else? What's the perspective that needs to be changed? What's the attitude? We're going to play that song, Make Room Again. As you worship, as you pray, the prayer team's up here for you. If you need prayer for anything, like we talked about earlier, two or more gathered in his name, agree on anything, we'll know that we have what we ask. He's there. If you need prayer for something today, as we play this song, feel free to come up and get prayer. If you want to come up and lay something down at this altar up here, just leave your burden here, that's okay too. If you want to just stand where you are and pray or worship and let things go, you can do that as well. But Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to consider what you are saying to us today. We think about those things that we hold on to, those things that we were never meant to bear, those things that we're supposed to cast upon you because you care for us. God, help us to let those things go today as we make room for you to do whatever you want. In Jesus' name, amen.